This is the HAT Soil Health Podcast, a production of Hoosier Ag Today and the Conservation Cropping Systems Initiative, a program of the Indiana Conservation Partnership. In each episode, we spotlight the numerous efforts around the state by CCSI and its many partners to improve soil health on Indiana cropland. The current heat wave across the state affects several aspects of our lives, from crop condition to our own health. Our guest today will discuss the heat dome, the possibility of drought, and how to build resiliency into your farm. Now, your HAT Soil Health Podcast host, Elise Koenig.
Hello, and welcome to the HAT Soil Health Podcast. We're recording this episode on June 18th, 2024, and right now we're in the midst of a heat wave. So yesterday, our dog Mia and I needed to make sure we had our sheep and goat chores done really early because the heat index for our area was on its way to 103. Right now, the skies look pretty gray, but I'm not sure if we're actually going to see any rain relief or not. The radar looks clear here. But at any rate, it's a good day to record a podcast, and it's an even better day to catch up on any HAT Soil Health Podcast episodes you may have missed. We've had some really good conversations lately on a variety of topics, and today we're going to talk about this heat dome that's over the Midwest right now. For that conversation, Hans Schmitz is with us. He's the Soil Health and Climate Smart Ag Specialist for CCSI. Hey Hans, how's the weather looking for you in southern Indiana?
Exactly the same. It's a gray day. We're in the upper 70s. If that sun comes out, we won't have any problem getting up to 90.
And then we also have with us Austin Pearson. He's the climatologist for the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Hey, Austin, how are things looking your way in northern Indiana?
Well, things are certainly drying out, but had a remnant of a system come through here this morning. Skies are starting to clear here, but still primarily overcast in several spots, but really didn't accumulate much rain here this morning. So not really helping things out too well.
So you may have heard Austin and Hans on the December 2022 episode of the HAT Soil Health Podcast talking about historical data on climate and weather and what that means for Indiana farmers in the future. And you might say we're bringing it full circle as we're talking about the present and what is going on with today's weather. So Austin, one thing I'd like to start out with is some definitions and kind of an overview of what we're looking at with the weather right now. So let's start out with that heat dome. What is a heat dome and how did it form?
Yeah, so usually when we look at the weather across the United States, we get like a ridge where we have warm air building in from the south that kind of advects and pushes northward, which is kind of what we're dealing with right now. We also have troughs where we bring cooler air down from Canada. So we get that ridge-trough-ridge pattern over the United States, and we get that we're under the ridge right now, which means the ridge is the line for that is further to the north, and we get that bubble of hot air across our area. And a lot of times when you see that heat dome, a lot of the weather systems like to form along that periphery. And so when you have that high temperature, those storms like to follow that track that are usually on the north side of that ridge, which usually leads to some drying conditions within folks that are within that center of that heat. And so you can see reduced precipitation during those times. And if you do get precipitation, it's usually not driven by larger weather systems. They're just, they pop up and then you get larger rain events, on one side of the fence compared to the other. And so that's something that we definitely see with those summertime convection, especially under heat domes. And it's really not all that uncommon to get a heat dome to set up, right? So we usually deal with it multiple times throughout the summer. It just happens that, right now in the middle of June that we've got one that's popped up that we're contending with. A couple of years ago, we had one that popped up in mid-May. Heat indices back over 100 degrees, and so certainly makes things unpleasant. And it's not a dry heat that we've been experienced in the past. So that's something that we've been contending with here recently.
Yeah, and that dry weather has been affecting several plants around our house. We've had to make sure to water the daisies that we just planted a couple weeks ago. Their roots are just not deep enough yet. And Hans, is that similar to what farmers are experiencing out in the corn and soybean fields right now, where roots aren't quite as deep as they need to be to pull up the water that they need?
Absolutely, yeah. So what we've got is crop staging around the state right now that is all across the board. We had very small windows for planting this year around most of the state. So we've got anything from corn that has emerged about, a week to 10 days ago, to corn that has closed canopy and is looking well beyond the side dress window at V8, V9, which means that particularly for those corn and soybean plants that were planted early when they got so much rainfall, there was a shallow root issue that formed, where the roots that did form stayed relatively close to the soil surface. And now that we do see the potential for some rapid onset of drought and a reduction in topsoil moisture, those plants in particular are going to have a hard time keeping up with root growth down into the soil profile. So in this particular case, some of the less mature, later planted plants may be positioned a little better to start following the moisture down into the profile than those earlier planted plants that have become accustomed to growing shallowly and more horizontally along the surface.
What's the long-term look? And I'll throw this out to both of you. What's the long-term look for both the weather and the crops if this heat dome continues on for too long and we don't get the water that we need when we need it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, overall for the summer, I think we're calling for warmer than normal temperatures and really not as much of a grasp on what's going to happen precipitation-wise. I think it's equal chances for above or below normal precipitation. With these last couple of years that we've had, we get these warm events that happen. We have this rapid onset of droughts, and then things look dry, stressed. You get pineapple corn, soybeans that are trying to flip their leaves and stuff. And then you'll catch a timely rain. And then once that happens, you'll see rapid growth movement through the maturity phases. But until then, you do end up seeing some delayed maturity as a result of some of the weather events that have happened. So you have these growing degree days that look at, when you would expect to be at black layer or different growth stages, silking and so on and so forth throughout the growing season. That can happen. But like if you have stress degree days that accumulate where you start accumulating after that 86 degree threshold, you can actually slow the rate at which the plant is growing. And with these 90 plus degree days that we've been experiencing, I would imagine that a lot of the crop has slowed growth-wise, at least during those hours that we experience that heat.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on there. Starting out with corn, C4 photosynthetic plant, does not care what temperature it is for the most part, as long as it has sufficient moisture. If it doesn't have sufficient moisture, then you start to see the pineappling of corn or the rolling of the leaves. And as a result of that, it'll start in midday. It'll roll for a couple hours, and then as temperatures cool down in the evening, it'll come out of it. And generally speaking, if we're rolling for just a few hours during the day, not that big of a deal. When we do start seeing leaves rolling later on into the day, and especially throughout the night, then we've got a sure sign that we're hurting our yield potential in ways that could be mild to severe. For soybeans, they are, I hate to admit this because it favors Sean over Dan, but soybeans may be a little bit more resilient plant, particularly to drought conditions, because they have the ability to kind of exhibit a dormancy, just that let's wait and see what happens. But soybeans have a C3 photosynthetic pathway, which means when you do see temperatures above 86 degrees, they will start flipping leaves more easily, or even taking the trifoliates and cupping them together to avoid losing additional water resources or protect themselves from that heat.
So what are some strategies that farmers can employ to help their crops and themselves through some of the challenges they're facing with this heat wave?
Yeah, so I'll start out and have Austin clear up everything I left out. There's a couple different things. There's the crop management system that the farmer employs. So if we're trying to avoid effects of rapid onset of drought or heat dome, keeping the soil surface covered, whether that be with residue or whether that be with living plants, closing the canopy as quickly as we can to keep shade on the soil surface is going to reduce the amount of moisture loss from the surface. It's also going to protect soil biology at the surface. That's relatively important. Important to note that as a crop becomes a little bit further along in its growth system, it has more leaf area, it's going to evapotranspirate a little bit more than a younger plant. So you're still going to see some loss of water from the soil canopy, if not from drying on the soil surface and subsequent crusting, then from evapotranspiration out of the plants. That said, if we can keep the soil surface covered, we're going to have more resiliency to episodes like this. Also, the amount of organic matter that we have in our soil is rather important. So if we can keep all of the soil health principles intact, we're going to be able to be more resilient and hold on to water and infiltrate water in a better way, which then leads to additional resilience. Also want to mention the farmers themselves in this heat. Elise, you mentioned making sure the chores got done early. Want to address human heat stress issues and the fact that we should be avoiding physical strenuous activity in the middle of the day during these type of heat events. I don't really care what age you are. There's always dangers with that. And also keep an eye on the minimum temperatures. It's not just the heat, it's the humidity. The minimum temperatures forecasted for my area for this week are in the lower 70s, which has some potential issues, particularly for folks that may not have access to air conditioning. If you get into the upper 70s and 80s, we consider that to be a real human heat stress mortality issue for those that don't have access to air conditioning. So wanted to throw that out there as well.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for mentioning that, because it is really hard on the humans as well as crops, livestock, and everything else. So thank you for that. Austin, what are some things that people should keep in mind as we're going through this heat dome?
Yeah, I mean, just to piggyback off of what Hans had said, I mean, I still have things to get done outside too, but try to limit the amount of time that you're doing them, take breaks. You know, stay hydrated with that regard. Also, if you have livestock, make sure that you're keeping an eye on them, watering them adequately, and you know, providing shade or just a way for them to retreat from the heat could help with that. In addition to that, looking at it from the crop standpoint, if you're fortunate enough to have irrigation, make sure that you're irrigating properly. I don't have a lot of background in irrigation, so I'd be curious if Hans has any recommendations on irrigation. And certainly we can get them in touch with Linda and Kelly, our extension irrigation specialists, if there's questions. But, you know, looking at ET rates, they're high right now for crops. Providing moisture in those proper time frames is pertinent. But then also, you know, folks that are more rain fed are just kind of at the liberty of whether it's going to rain or not. And so some of the practices that Hans was mentioning can help conserve some of that moisture with those situations. But Hans, what are your comments on some of the irrigation standpoint?
I tell you what I do for irrigation. I either reach out to Lyndon Kelly myself, or I look at his resources that he provides to educators around the state. So if there are irrigation concerns or potential out there, I would say reach out to your local Purdue Extension educator and use the resources then that Lyndon provides us.
So as we look across the state, and Hans, you do a lot of traveling. Austin, you are able to see precipitation maps and different climatology maps. What is the look of Indiana as a whole, and then some of the different regions of Indiana? Are you seeing a difference from region to region?
Yeah, so precipitation-wise, prior to the mid part of May, southern Indiana was running well ahead compared to everyone else on precipitation. But since that mid-May timeframe, it's kind of flipped. Northern Indiana has been kind of on the periphery of that warmer temperatures that we've experienced. More of the storm tracks have been across the northern part of the state. Subsequently, we've had drier conditions in southern Indiana, which has really triggered some concern for this rapid onset of drought, primarily because we've had high temperatures. Humidity has been low compared to this week. I mean, we've had higher humidity totals or higher humidity values this week. We've been accompanied with strong winds, and it's been pretty sunny. So that leads to a higher evaporative demands. And so we've got soil moisture monitoring stations with the Purdue Mesonet around the state of Indiana. And we have seen anywhere from that 2 to 4 inch depth. A lot of that moisture has been burned up over the last couple of weeks. And so we've been going through it fairly quickly. As far as like lawns, you can start to see that a lot of those lawns are going dormant across the several areas in Indiana. I don't know about you, but I was tired of mowing my lawn more than 2 days a week. And so it has allowed us to slow down on mowing. But if you're aesthetically into your lawn, it's not as green as what it once was. And then even looking at crops, I mean, it just varies from region to region. Heat stress is higher in the south, a lack of soil moisture. That's something that we start to see that the rolling of the corn that Hans had mentioned earlier. So we see that starting to play out in many areas across the state. And so that's something that that we've been doing and observing. And I'll toss it over to Hans to see what else he has to say.
Yeah. So as I go around the state, I'm not seeing at the moment a lot of bad things happening out there. It concerns me that we're seeing tar spot around most areas of the state this early in the season. And the Crop Protection Network has a map of tar spot finds that I encourage anybody to go check out to see how close it is to your neck of the woods. But from a plant growth perspective, it seems like if you planted the last couple days of March through April or May, and maybe it was a little bit of a wetter condition when you planted and you were worried about smearing or sidewall compaction, generally we were wet enough for that not to be too much of an issue. And crop stands that I'm seeing are pretty good. Now, there are some prevent plant acres around the state because maybe you chose not to hit those windows where it was questionably too wet. But that said, that did get planted and has come up looks pretty good. Now, you may be in a replant situation. A lot of farmers I talked to did have to go out and replant some at some point in time. But as it stands right now, if we can keep from rapid onset of drought, which doesn't look likely, it looks like we're going to have flash drought showing up in the near future. Everything's looking fairly good.
You're listening to the HAT Soil Health Podcast, brought to you by the Conservation Cropping Systems Initiative, with Hans Schmitz, Soil Health and Climate Smart Ag Specialist for CCSI, and Austin Pearson, Climatologist for the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Hans, you mentioned drought, and I want to go into that now. What are the chances that we're going to see some sort of drought this summer?
Yeah, so last week, about 8 days ago now, the summer outlook from the Indiana State Climate Office came out that I'm fortunate to be allowed, permitted really, to write. And I did mention in that particular publication that just like 4 out of the last 5 years or so, we should expect at some point that we're going to enter flash drought conditions. At most of the last 5 years, we have gone from a 2-inch rainfall to a couple weeks of dry weather that turns really hot to a 2-inch rainfall. We're used to that condition now. And based on yields last year, when we did have that condition 2 or 3 times during the season, our crops are getting a little used to that condition too. What I do hope is that we do see those precipitation events that occur in a timely fashion. And as we look at the 3 ways that Indiana gets our precipitation, you've got the synoptic large-scale cold front or low-pressure system events. You've got the mesoscale convective complexes, which are just pop-up thunderstorms. And then you've got the tropical moisture that comes up out of the Gulf. We're supposed to see a larger hurricane season than average, which should mean that for most of the state, we'll see a little, maybe 1 or 2 tropical systems come up and dump a little moisture on us. The entire Midwest was completely free of drought for like 2 weeks, I want to say, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor, which means that we're not seeing any type of prevention from getting those synoptic scale, large low pressure system events outside of this ridge that Austin talked about at the moment. And then you really never know in the Midwest when you're going to see a pop-up thunderstorm. So we've still got all 3 types of precipitation on the table for the summer, and I like that a lot.
Austin, what are you seeing as far as drought, and what are the chances of having a drought?
Yeah, I think in the near term, the likelihood is high of seeing at least abnormally dry conditions in the U.S. Drought Monitor. Maybe some rapid intensification outside of that. Looking at my crystal ball in a couple of weeks. Fortunately, though, the Climate Prediction Center is calling for near normal to slightly above normal chances for precipitation. Whether that validates is something to be seen, because usually when we get these drier patterns, they're really hard to break. And so hopefully this is just going to be a short-term impact that we're seeing. And obviously none of us can forecast precipitation effectively beyond that 7 to 10 day time frame. So at least for the next 7 days, precipitation looks to be fairly low across the state. And if we do get anything, it'll be more of the pop-up nature that we kind of experienced yesterday afternoon and evening and into the overnight.
Austin, I just want to confirm your crystal ball is actually just a gussied up magic 8-ball, right?
Yes, that's okay. What I use every day.
Same here.
So we talked earlier about some of the soil health practices that could be implemented to help farmers out with what we're going through right now. If farmers are looking at this and the situation right now and they're thinking, what can I do to help my crops through this situation in the future? What advice would you give to those farmers?
As a person with an agricultural meteorology background, all the soil health principles are important, but I tend to focus a little bit on keeping soil protected, having soil armor, having residue on the soil surface. So considering reduced tillage practices into the future, having living roots and canopies closed that can protect the soil surface. So adoption of cover crops or other practices that keep canopy closed for more of the year. And I say that mainly from a ultraviolet ray perspective. So like the sun will burn your skin. The sun will also kill a lot of soil microbes. So if we have the soil covered and we're protecting the soil and soil surface from UV radiation, we're allowing microbial activity to occur all throughout the soil profile, and we're able to ramp up our biological and fungal systems in the soil much more quickly and start to get more cycling then of carbon, of nutrients, and then build organic matter in a limited way from there. So that's what I harp on the most, I would say.
And Austin, what would you say looking forward? What kind of advice would you give farmers and others working outside in regards to the heat and preparing for it and working with it in the best way they can?
Yeah, I mean, wear your sunscreen. If you don't wear sunscreen, Wear a SPF 50 shirt or something like that, and lightweight clothes that you can wear to help block out some of that sun. Also, people make fun of me. I have a giant safari hat that I like to wear outside, and I'd wear that and kind of block out some of that sun there as well. Obviously hydrate, drink fluid. If you start developing a headache or you get a fever or anything like that, you may have signs of heat exhaustion. Make sure that you take care of yourself in those times.
So will there be a break in the weather anytime soon?
Looking at, I think, the next 5 days, 6 days, we've got 90s on the table for this short-term period. I know we do have a cool down that will happen after that, but how long that will last, I'm not really sure of. Looking at the Climate Prediction Center forecast or their outlooks, they call for elevated chances for above normal temperatures. One thing to note is that those don't tell us how warm it's going to be, just the fact that they're going to be the chances for above normal temperatures are on the table, or they're at least confident in that outcome. And so, this is something, we're in summertime, we're going to see these 90 degree day stretches, and we'll have a cool down, and then we'll see another stretch of 90 degree days. It's very, very common this time of year. So, looking at that though, it's just one of those things that we contend with every year.
Just to qualify Austin's statement, like, he's talking 7, maybe 10 days out, and that's because for a forecast, that's really all that humans can provide value to, about 7 to 10 days out. We've got a few models that'll go further than that, and then it's all climatology. So climatology tells us, yes, at some point we're going to see a break, but maybe not for the next 7 to 10 days.
So Austin, if somebody wanted to learn more about what's going on with the climate, where could they go for weather maps and other resources?
Yeah, so if they want to look at least monitoring of conditions and looking at how things have fared compared to climatological perspectives, the Midwestern Regional Climate Center is an excellent place to find those maps. We've got Climate, which is an online data tool that you can go in and select custom maps. Or if you don't want to get in that far, you can go to our Midwest Climate Watch and get static maps that we update daily. And you can get those there. We also have other tools like a useful to usable corn growing degree day tool that's been used quite a bit. You can put in your planting dates and then look at the hybrid maturity that you have selected and estimate when that crop is going to be at silking and then also at black layer based on historical growing degree day trends. And then you can also compare recent years within that tool as well. If you're wanting more local data, you can go to the Indiana State Climate Office and look at the Purdue Mesonet. And we have pretty much real-time weather data across the state. Now, granted, we've only got 15 stations as part of our network. We're hoping to expand that and get funding to continue doing that across the state. But we've got air temperature, dew points, relative humidities. We've got wind speed. Excellent things to look at for when you're spraying crops, getting real-time weather from stations that are near your location. And look at soil moisture across the state, soil temperatures and stuff like that. So it's a resource that's there. We put a lot of faith and attention to detail with that network and hoping that it's meeting the needs and also helping producers make decisions across the state of Indiana.
And Hans, what resources would you recommend for soil health information?
Always recommend going to ccsin.org, the Conservation Cropping Systems Initiative website. Always recommend using your human resources that you have available to you locally, your local soil and water conservation district personnel, natural resource conservation service personnel, Purdue Extension educators, and others that can provide quality information to you.
As we wrap up our conversation, I want to ask for your final thoughts on the topic of today's weather and what we're looking at with our crops and soil health. I want to start with Austin Pearson. He's the climatologist for the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Austin, what would you like to wrap up our podcast with?
Just monitor conditions across the state. If there's a way that you can go in and intervene with crops, if you start seeing that they're overly stressed, if you have got irrigation, follow that irrigation schedule appropriately. Reach out to others across the state, Extension. You can also reach out to Indiana State Climate Office and Midwestern Regional Climate Center for climate information. Just keep an eye on the weather pattern. Take all the heat exhaustion, heat illness precautions so you don't get sick in the process, and be proactive when you're dealing with the heat and dry conditions.
And we also have with us Hans Schmitz. He's the Soil Health and Climate Smart Ag Specialist for the Conservation Cropping Systems Initiative. Hans, what are your final thoughts you'd like to leave with us today?
I like to leave everybody on a positive note. So I saw a CBS News headline that I'd like to share. It said, we have now gone through 12 straight months of the warmest temperatures on record globally, but not to worry, because in the future, this will seem comparatively cool.
Thanks for that positivity, Hans. Hans, Austin, thanks for joining us on this episode. I appreciate you sharing your insight.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Happy to be here.
This has been the HAT Soil Health Podcast. I'm your host, Elise Koning.
This episode of the Hoosier Ag Today Soil Health Podcast has been brought to you by the Conservation Cropping Systems Initiative. You can learn more about their efforts and see a schedule of events at ccsin.org. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, create your riches below the surface with healthy soils.